Okay, so there we were yesterday. So the last thing that we got to is that we contrasted the din of a membrane that seals a hole in the penis with a membrane that seals a hole in the lungs. And we said that as long as we have a membrane that will stand up to the pressure of ejaculation, then it's considered to be a proper closure. Mashen kein in a lung, as we spoke about in Chulin, over there we have the main kashrus problems of adhesions and the way that they tear against each other and the expansion of the lung, and therefore we can't rely on an adhesion. Today the Gemara wants to know, this is an absolutely brilliant and fascinating Gemara, how do you do microsurgery when you don't have the tools for microsurgery? Now, if you're going to close up a small hole in the penis, you need to be able to do microsurgery. So they had a brilliant solution, which includes how do you actually use stitches in microsurgery that you won't have to remove. They should be self-dissolving stitches. So the Gemara has a fantastic solution, which is becoming more and more these type of solutions to utilize nature. When you don't have the technology, nature has the technology. So what you do is very simple. So what do we do to be able to seal up a hole in the penis if we do not know how to do microsurgery? Simple, says Abaya. I'll tell you. Mycenaean seartas. First of all, bring a kernel from a barley specifically, which is a little bit rough. Misartinanle, and now irritate the area around the puncture wound that is in the penis. And then mytinan taraba vishaifinan. Bring a fat, a good tasting fat, or at least a nourishing fat. Put it directly on the puncture wound. Then what you do is you bring a large ant. You hold it at the place, its head is exactly at that place, and get it to bite. Then, when you do this a few times, as many stitches as you need, each bite is a stitch. As soon as the ant bites, cut off its head so that it can't release the bite. Then you use, basically, its mandibles as a microscopic, almost, stitch. That stitch dissolves as the wound heals. So you have self-dissolving stitches that are micro-stitches, and you got yourself a brilliant way to perform surgery. That's absolutely incredible. So then, you get it to bite, you cut off its head in such a way that keeps the mandibles as a stitch around the hole. But make
sure... You have to use an antiseptic.
Not bad. I was going to shoot you, but then when I heard it, I said, you know, not so bad. Okay. So anyway, in that, you definitely should use an antiseptic, I would imagine. And you should bedafka use a barley, because don't think that you should irritate utilizing metal, because what metal does is misrav zarif, it causes swelling. The swelling will make it more difficult to close the hole. For hani milikot, obviously this is not going to work on any kind of large puncture wound. It's only going to work on a tiny puncture, which is why we're talking about this microsurgery. Avogadol mikvok bikpale. If you're talking about a large puncture, so then any kind of sealing that you're going to achieve just with stitching is going to actually ultimately come off. And therefore, we know that we found this in the Gabi Hochas Travis as well. If something is going to come off ultimately, then it's not considered to be a properly done closure. Now that's really the way almost all the Rishonim understand the Gemara. But others understand the Gemara to mean that it depends on how old the patient is. Katan or Gadol, because a child, usually the healing of a child is more effective than the healing on an adult, and he will actually be able to build up sufficient real tissue to close off a hole. And it's not a question of how large the puncture is, it's a question of how old the patient is. Okay, two different ways of understanding that. Omar Rabba Bar of Huna. Hamatil Mayim Mishtei Mikomot. So someone who is because he had this, of course, is talking about specifically a Saris Adam, meaning that something happened to him, that's a kind of accident and so on. And because of that, he urinates both out of, and again, I mentioned this last night, that this in modern terms doesn't seem to make sense because it goes, would go way too far down inside the body and would not be visible. But anyway, he urinates both out of the urinary lumen, because the Gemara believes there's separate urinary lumen and a seminal lumen. And therefore, if it turns out that he's got a break which allows urine to actually come out in this way, then he's considered to be pasul, and that's considered to be a soris. And in fact, Omar Rava, that's not true. We don't paskin like that. Let Hilchata, we don't paskin, not like the son and not like the father. The son being Rabba Baravuna and the father being Ravuna. So the son that we're referring, the Abba that we're referring to, was the son is what we just said, Hadi Amaran. The Abba, when I was saying the halakha is not like the Abba either in the sexual issues or genital issues, that was talking about the Omer Rav Huna, Nashima Misololot Zo Bezu Besula Lekuna. So Rav Huna believes that lesbian relationships are enough to passel for kuhuna. Now, the reason that this is true is because misololot, remember, is not simply fooling around, but it's actually rubbing the genitals one up against the other, so that what you're doing is, as a lesbian, you're attempting to simulate an actual intercourse. And therefore, we call it misololot as a misila. In other words, you're on the road, but just like a road, you don't penetrate. You walk on the road, so over here also you walk on the road, but you don't penetrate, which is what the Rambam points out in the end, quoting this Gemara, that since by definition, ain sham bia, there's not going to be any penetration, so because of that, it cannot cause a din of zayna. I always said beautifully that the word lesbian means lesbia. There is no bia. That's a remnant to what the Rambam actually says is the meaning of that halacha. Isn't that amazing? Anyway, so, but because of this, so Ravuna paskin to the psulot lakuna, Tosis brings the possibility that engaging in that type of simulated type of intercourse will still be able to have an effect on the bitulim. So because of that, the rubbing effect itself will actually, in the end, make the bitulim looser, like we had before, that even getting older does that. And so because of that, we view it as something that is a psul kuhuna, meaning a psul lekohen gadol, but that there never really was a havamina that it was psul stam across the board as znus, because znus actually doesn't make sense. They're just sexual interrelationship is not sexual intercourse. So why would that be znus? So therefore, he wanted to say that there must be some kind of physical difference. That's why Tosafot said it's talking about kohen gadol. And the din is, however, that that's not true, says the Gemara, not his son and not the father. And the truth is, even according to Rebbe Elazar, where you would say that since Rebbe Elazar has a very expanded idea of what znus means, because he says that even casual sex creates a zayna, so that a ponui habal apnuya, we don't paskin that way, of course, but even according to him, who says a ponui haba al hapnuya shelo l'shem ishut, that a sexual relationships asa azona, but that's only where she has relationships with a male, because over there you can have actual penetration. Masha imkein, to relate to another woman is just pritsuta. It's just, you know, acting in a sexy way, but it doesn't have any real definition of being sexual. So because of that, the Rambam actually says that nonetheless, since a lesbian simulates intercourse, it's included in the idea of Maise Eretz Mitzrayim. So in the Maise Eretz Mitzrayim, which is a lav shebiklalut, so it doesn't have any onesh associated with it, but nonetheless, the Torah prohibits the type of marriages that was in Mitzrayim, and over there they would make a marriage of an isha im ha'isha. So getting back to Richie, it's time now for something we've waited a long time for.
Boy, what a junction to throw me up a topic. I'm at.
Richie, you're old enough to deal with these issues.
I'm still 13, Rabbi. You don't know that.
It's amazing the casual way that the Gemara deals with this. It's unbelievable. It takes away all types of any sense of lewdness or inappropriateness. Absolutely astounding, no? Huh?
Matter of fact.
Totally, yeah, it's like totally matter of fact. It's an amazing thing. Mamish amazing. I find that the best sex education for children is to learn the Daf Yomi, because they're presented with all of these issues, and it means absolutely nothing. It's just like another sugya, totally matter of fact, and it becomes like, you know, well, the Gemara talks about this. You know, it's like, what is it? Is Gavi here this morning? Or do I have anybody here? There we go, Gavi. So you'll remember in that, where's Alon? Alon's here also. So we got a few fans of, the power of one. So you'll remember when PK Tynes to, the pastor over there, the Goyesha pastor. So he says, well, if it's in the Bible, it can't be dirty, can it? It's like amazing. Exactly this thing. Okay. All right. So anyway, getting back now to the question of, so what is the relationship? This is extremely important, because remember that together with the idea of Petsua Daka, as we saw, we already had the relationship to Mamzer Petsua Daka, and that was the next pasuk, and that is part of the reason, at least that was the way that the Braita talked about how we know precisely what the Dinum of Petsua Daka is, the location of Petsua Daka. We connected it to the idea of Mamzerut. And after that, we actually have additional psukim, which we should get to as well, because over there we have Lo Yavo Petsua Daka, Ukrut Shavcha Bekal Hashem, and then we have Lo Yavo Mamzer Bekal Hashem. And then we have also after that, Lo Yavam Oniyam Oavi Bekal Hashem. And then we also have the idea of the Mitzri and so on. So we're going to go through all of these psukim. And there we have the Din of Mitzri about Bani Mashi, Yivaldulahem, Dor Shlishi. So the Mishnayos now are going to deal with the concept of Ba B'Kal Hashem. So now the question is, that aspect of Kal Hashem, how does it affect the Petsua Daka? Because since he is Osir Lavo B'Kahal, says the Mishnah, but he could still marry Mutarim B'Giyoret U'Mishuchreret, because we don't view them as Kahal Hashem. He was only not allowed to marry into someone who is born as a Kahal Hashem. So Inan Asurin, Ela Milavo B'Kahal, Shinemar, Lo Yavo P'tzua Daka Uchrut Shavcha B'Kahal Hashem. Now we get to the question that we raised earlier. What is the status of the Kohen who is a Petsua Daka? So the question is whether that Kedusha that relates to Abiyah B'Kahal, is the fact that he's a Petsua Daka, does that affect the Kedusha of the Kohuna? So we understand that there may be a general heter milavo B'Kahal, which then someone who is himself not able to be Baba Kahal, so he can marry not into the Kahal. But does that affect the Isurei Kohuna? So if the Kohen happens to be a Petsua Daka, and so normally we would say, well, a Kohen can't marry a Gioret. But in this case, we should say, well, but in the same way that a Petsua Daka is a Yisrael, can marry, let's say, any other Psule Kahal, as we'll see in the Gemara. So maybe a Kohen himself could also marry a Gioret or a Mishuchreret, a Vuzer Shivcha. So what is the din? Do we say Bigdusha Tekoi V'Osir in terms of the Kedusha of the Kohuna? He remains a complete Kohen. And therefore, even though he's a Petsua Daka, but the din of the Kohuna is not related to that. And he is just as Osir as any Kohen in a Gioret. Maybe the same way it affects the din of the Kedusha Sakaha. then he would learn, he would become. Now, the question is what this means. He would lose the Kedushas HaKuna legabe, the dinim of marriage? Or does it mean he is no longer considered to be a Kohen? That already is a big machlokas haposkim, actually. Whether this would affect the din of the Kohen in terms of calling him up to the Torah, to get, he's giving the Birchas Kehuna and so on and so forth. Fine. But certainly this question Rip Sheshes is raising. And therefore, if Lava Kedusha is Kohen, he would be sure, he would be mut. So Amalu Rip Sheshes. So Rip Sheshes said, I think, when they asked Rip Sheshes replied, I think that you can learn it directly from this Braita. The Braita says like this, Betzuadaka Yisrael, mutar benitina. So he is allowed to marry a netina. Now, a netina, remember that the netinim were originally chivim, and they pretended to be Jewish because they were terrified. They were the ones who were in Givon, so we could be Givonim, but they were from one of the Shiva Amamim. The chivim are one of the chivi vayavusi. They're part of the Canaan. So they pretended to be Jewish, from afar, and in the end they became Jewish. So they came to Yoshua, and they got a deal with Yoshua that, you know, they want safe passage, and Yoshua gave them safe passage. And even though it was a fake-out, but because of the problem of Chilul Hashem, so they didn't say that it was all a mistake, and they actually were unable to destroy these Givonim. They ended up becoming Gerim, and then there was a whole series of Gezeres. Yoshua put them into a position of, we call them the Tzinim, because it says, Vayitnum Yoshua. Yoshua put them, Nitnatnum, meaning as an insertion in terms of status, that they should be the Shoavei Mayim, they should take care of bringing water to people, and bringing wood, chopping wood. So the question is, we're going to get to them later on, the particular din, the halacha, whether this is a d'oraisa, is it a drabanan? So the question is over here, since it says that a betzuadaka, who is a Yisroel, we're not dealing with the kohuna over here. So if he's allowed to marry the netinim, so then it should be the same thing for the kohen, because the allowance to marry the netinim, if this Yisroel retains his kedushas Yisroel, so then isn't it aser, lo titchatein bam, isn't it aser to marry the netinim? Because Rav Sheshes figures that this means even if you have a gerus from the Shiva Amamim, that midiraisa should be aser. So if it says over here that a psudak is mutter, so apparently he doesn't have the kedusha Yisrael that aser. So then the same thing would be true about a kohen. Omar Ravin, no. The reason that normally you can't marry them. That's not the question of whether you have Kedushas Yisrael. The reason is, like it says in the Torah, that it's going to be ki asirat bincha alai, that they're going to turn your children away from me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that means Dilma Molid Bain, if he will take such a woman, what if he has a son and then it ends up that he'll go and be even Avodah Zarah? So what, you're going to be providing now children for Avodah Zarah? So that's only true if they haven't become Gerim. But Ki Megayre, the Netinim ended up being Megayre, and therefore they become Mutter. It's only the Rabbonan who were Gozer, the Netinim, we'll see what happened over there, and they assert them. The Gemara's going to go into this in great detail later on. And this started with the Gezerah, you remember, with the way that the Givonim acted with Shoal and his family. So v'chi gozu b'rabbonan, since this whole thing is basically a drabbonan, the rabbonan were going only gozer b'hanach the b'nei uludin. So if they're going to have children, so then they were gozer. But in the case over here, we're talking about Psuadak, he's not going to have children. So there would be no point in making the Gezerah of Kayasirat Bincha Mi'alai, since there isn't going to be a Bincha, because by definition, we said that the Psuadaka has to be a Psua in such a way that it causes sterility. That therefore, they never made such a Gezerah. If the Braita tells me that a Psuadak is allowed to marry a Netina, that's because it's a Drabonan. So says the Gemara, that can't be true, because according to this, a mamzer could have children, right? So that would mean, according to you, that a mamzer should be included in the Gezerah Derabbanan not to marry a netina. But that's not true. A mamzer debar ulu deyachinami daasir? Are you going to tell me that someone who doesn't have the kedusha of the kahal because he's marrying out of, he himself can't marry into the kahal? So you're going to tell me, but there's a gezerah derabbanan. I mean, you can't be male children for avodah zarah, even if you're a mamzer. But that's not true, because it says beferish in that seminal mishnah in kedushin that talks about the relationship of all of the yisurim. So it says mamzerim unetinim utarim lavozebze. That dafka, it's mutter for a mamzer to marry a netina. So that can't be the point, that we didn't make a gezerah in the case where there's no children, but we will make a gezerah if there are. That's not true. Ella, okay, I take it back, said Rava. I still maintain it's a drabonet, but I'll tell you the difference. The difference is like this. Ki goz drabonet, what I said was wrong, but not totally wrong. It's a drabonet, and the place where the drabonet made this gezerah is dafka b'ksherim. So people who are able to be nichnasim lekahal, so there we made the gezerah. Masha'in bein bipsulim go logos rabbanon. If anyway, they're not ruim of obekahal. So then the rabbanon didn't make a gezerah. Some say the reason rabbanon didn't make a gezerah is because it's a milta lo shchicha. The milta lo shchicha logos rabbanon. But, okay, I think that the more Rashi brings also, and I think this is the more reasonable issue, is that the only reason that we assert originally, it was Dovid HaMelech who made this gezerah, because of the way that the Givonim treated the family of Shaul, and they would not respond to pleas for forgiveness and so on for the fact that he had caused them damage. And so when they saw that HaGivonim, that these people are lav mibnei Yisrael, they're not like Jewish. So they don't have midas that we find in Yisrael. So because of that, we made the gezerah. But a gezerah for those who are anyway osir lovo b'kahal, we're not going to say that this is a reflection of kahal Yisrael, you see? So to say lav mibnei Yisrael hema, therefore we should osir a mamzer, doesn't make sense. So the Rabbanan did not osir those who anyway are not really representative of the kedushas Yisrael. In the end, Rava said, the whole thing is a mistake. I made a terrible mistake. Lav milti. I was completely wrong. Because I was tining that midioraita, that the halacha is only if the goy has not been megayer from the sheva amamim, only then is it usur to marry them. But that's crazy. Because how could the Torah say, lo titchaten bam, don't marry them, if it's referring to don't marry them when they're goyim? You can't marry a goy because there's no din of katanut, right? So, like, it's absurd to taina that lotit chateinbam means with somebody that you couldn't marry anyway because there's no kiddushin. So, therefore, I mean, it just should have said you're not allowed to sleep with them. Lotavo aleihem. What is this lotit chatein? So, because the only time beheyotam avdeko chavim, what was I saying? That they're only usher while they're going before they're mitgayer? There's no chatanut in that state anyway. So it's only after that nidgayru itlu chatanut, the only time that the Torah could have been referring to the issur of marrying them is when marrying is possible. But marrying is only possible after they're already Jewish. They're what's been misgayer. So therefore, he was right, says Rava. Since Lamaisa, it's clear that it's usher for Yisrael to marry a nesina, even one who went through gerut, and nonetheless, we're allowing the Pitzua Daka to do so. So it means that Reb Sheshes is right, and that there was a loss of the Kedushas Yisrael, specifically as Kedushas Yisrael. It must be that there was a loss of Kedushas Yisrael, in which case then the Kohanim will lose the Darg of Kedusha that provides them the Kohuna if they are a Pitzua Daka. Mativ Rav Yosef, says Rav Yosef, what are you trying to tell me? That you can't marry. I mean, Shlomo married. It says, Vayitchaten Shlomo et Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So that he ended up marrying into Paro's family, which must mean that he, in other words, he married Bat Paro, right? So that's what the pasuk continues. That he took Bat Paro. So that means that we use the word vayitchaten. So You see that chatnut is done with goyim. No, what's the matter with you? Think Shlomo would marry a goya? Gayuri gayra. Of course, he was megayer her before. But I thought you can't be mekabel gerim in those days. V'halo kiblu gerim lo bimei David v'lo bimei Shlomo. The halacha was that Beis Din would not accept gerim during that period. Why? Because it was so advantageous to be a member of Klal Yisrael when they were in such a madriga of Malchus, David, and Shlomo, where the whole world like was looking at, wow, this is incredible. So then we do not trust the fact that they're coming to be gerim, that it's coming for the way it is. I remember we learned Ger Shabalit Gayer, Omrim Lo Maraita, why in the world would you want to become Jewish and so on? Then we'll accept gerim because we understand that they must be really serious. But why should we trust someone who wants to get in on a good deal? I mean, anybody wants to get in on a good deal, so we wouldn't accept the gerim. So how could Shlomo have been megayer these women if it was usher to accept gerim in those days? Says the Gemara, come on, the only reason it was usher to accept gerim in those days was because we're afraid that they were being megayer for ulterior motives. Those ulterior motives here were called shulchan melachim. They want to join up to be part of, you know, Shlomo's tables. But over here, you're talking about bringing in women who were all of royal descent, and they were all living. I mean, this is Paro's daughter. I mean, you could be sure that she was doing quite well for herself. And, you know, it wasn't as if everything was all, you know, Paro lives just like the regular people do. So in those days, it was pure Shulchan Melachim. She doesn't need to become Jewish for that. Yeah, but the thing is that we're talking over here about an iser of marrying anyway. Because if she goes ahead, he goes ahead and he wants to marry into Paro's family, there's another problem. Because you're not allowed to marry a first generation Gioret from Mitzrayim. That's a Mitzrit, right? So she's a Mitzrit Rishona. So she would still be Asura to him. So now there's a very strange Rashi here. Rashi says, if she would still be Asura to him, so why does it say Vayitchatein? It says, what do you mean, why does it say Vayitchatein? Because Kedushin is Chal, Chatnut is Chal, even if it would be an Isser. So that can't be the problem. So that wouldn't mean anything, right? So therefore the problem must be, not because the Chatnut wouldn't be Chal, but that if, even after Geirut, she would be Asura because she was a Mitzrit, so what would be the point in being Megayer her? He was not making her Muteret to him, right? So why should we assume that he was actually Megayer her? And it comes along and it says over here, Vayitchatein, that Shlomo actually had Chatnut with them. So you see, Chatnut apparently is true, even in the event where it's not a real Kiddushin. Somebody is, I don't know whether somebody's trying to talk, but it's not coming through, so please mute yourself. Ari? Calvin, I know you're being chased by all kinds of horrifying things, but we can't help you from afar here. Okay, so therefore, since it calls it Chatnut, so that's the problem. Okay, so now, if in any event, whatever pshat we take over here, we still find that we would be using, therefore, in this approach, the word chatnut in terms of a non-Jew. V'chi temesu, maybe you'll say, well, there's a simple solution. There is no Isser of Mitzrit anymore, because hanach asle la'alma, I mean, these people, goodbye. They were, whether it means in terms of the Yamsuf wiped out the Mitzrim, and since the Medrash is brought in the Medrash, since the Medrash says that even the people that were in Mitzrayim at the time that the Nisim were going on at the Yamsuf, anything that happened to the people on the Yam also wiped them out. So then we must have gotten some other people moving into Mitzrayim. Or in general, there's so many exchanges of populations. The question is, Tosis goes through a long discussion of the way that Nebuchadnezzar is viewed as being after his attack on Mitzrayim as moving populations, or is this part of Sancheirov's moving population? It's a very interesting Tosis B'chlal, because it's Nogea the Sugya, as Tosis points out, in Megillah, where the Chachomim said, when they were asked to Paskin, to Din of Vashti, so they said, well, go to Ammon and Moab, because they're still Shketim al Shimrayim. I mean, weren't they also scattered? So Tosis is Mechalic in places where the Torah gives a particular amount of time. So after 40 years, I will bring back such and such a nation. Or after 70 years, I'll bring back such and such a nation. That there's differences. And we were misupik, basically, about what the status was of Mitzrayim. So maybe you'll tell that these Mitzrayim at the time that the Torah asked are no longer around. And with people living in Mitzrayim now, it's a different nation. But the problem is that we know halacha l'maaseh, because we have a braita that says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, there was this guy that I had as my chavrusa. My chavrusa's name was Minyamin. And he was a ger mitzri. And he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. He was a good friend of mine. And he used to say, look, I'm a first generation mitzri. So I've got a problem over here in marrying into the tzibur. So I, Bedavka, went ahead and I married a mitzrit who was also a first generation mitzrit. And now our child will be able to marry a Mitzri Shniya. He's a Mitzri Sheni. And this way, their children will already be mutter, because they're going to be Dor Shlishi. Now, what is he talking about? Saying, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Adach Avrus is a Mitzri. What are you, nuts? There's no such thing. So clearly, there is such a thing. So then we're back to the problem. How is it that we're saying that Shlomo HaMelech uses this lotion of chatnut, and that was the whole reason that Rav is changing his mind over here? There can't be chatnut for Givonim unless it's talking about L'acher, Giyur, and Shlomo was over here before Giyur. Rav Papa, what? This is a kasha, not me Shlomo, like, when I was going to ask a kasha on Rav from the way that we use the language by Shlomo? Shlomo never married any of these people. It was casual sex the whole time. He never took any of them. Because it says beferish in the pasuk. Mina goyim amar asher amar Hashem o b'nei Yisrael lo tavau b'hem ve'em lo yavau b'chem. Those are the ones that he took. And achen yatud levavchem acharei Eloheihem b'hem davak Shlomo li'ahava. Those were the women that Shlomo got in love with. Okay, what do you mean in love with? In love means love making, li ahava. I mean, if we're talking about marriage, why are we reducing marriage to love making, you know? So that's good for the point. It was just love making. He never married any of those women. But it says vayitchatein. Yeah, it's because he was really into them, you know. Mitoch ahava yiterasha aheva ma'ale alav ha'katuv ki'ilo nitchatein ba. So since he was like so into these girls, because of that, the Torah sort of is making fun of him. So it's as if he married her, but he never actually married her. So the question is, okay, so the bottom line is, but was he megayer these women? Even if as a mitzri she would be asura? Or he wasn't even gayer him, because it wouldn't have made a difference. So, I mean, the lashon of the Rambam, remember, is the al yale al datcha. This he talks about in Hilchos Geiros and Issurei Bia. Al yale al datcha, Shimshon. What are you, crazy? You're going to think that Shimshon, HaMoshiach is Yisrael. Or Shlomo Melech Yisrael is called Yedid Hashem. They married women? Nasu Nashim Nachriyut Begeyutan? That they would take these goyishal women as goyot? The correct way to take a ger, a gioret, is bokin acharav. Maybe they're going to become a ger for money purposes, or because they want power, or whatever. Or maybe if it's a male, maybe he's in love with a Jewish girl, and so on. And then, if you find that there's no ulterior motive, so then we tell them how problematic it is to be a Jew, and so on, and so much Torah, sheyesh basiyata, et kedei sheyifreshu. We want them to go away. Please mute. Oh. Kedei sheyifreshu, we want them to go away. And if, only if, the Dvorah, please mute. Only if only if they are subjected to that type of pressure and they still want to be, and Shlomo didn't do that. Obviously, well, there was no way he could do that, right? So because of that, the fichach lo kiblu pesdin gerim koyme david or Shlomo. So therefore, the fishi gear Shlomo nashimu nesa'am, and Shimshon was gear v'nasa, and for sure, adavar yadua, that it was only for ulterior motives, and they didn't use Bezin, because Bezin wouldn't have done it. So the Torah calls them, ki'ilu heim aktum, as if they're goyim, and you see how they acted at the end, v'od shochiach sofanat chilatam, that they ended up worshipping Avodah Zorah with the bamos and so on, like it says, az yivne shlomo bama. So, okay, so that is the problem. So it's according to the Rambam, in the end, he wouldn't have even had any relationships with a woman who was a Goya, even if it wasn't talking about marriage. Why would he be interested in having even casual sex with a Goya? So the point over here would be that, according to the Rambam, that of course the Gera is not a steer to the fact that the Gemara says he never really married any of them. Okay, fine, that's something else. But the question over here is, so, if they were left begayutan, so the way some of the Rishonim explain it, was that in the end, when the Gemara says it was derech ava, it was all casual sex, that's because at that time there was no iser for casual sex, even with goyim, because that was a gezerah, according to some, that was done later at the time of the Chashmonoim, which is much after Shlomo, obviously, and therefore Shlomo HaMelech didn't have any problem with having casual sex with these people. However, again, as the Rambam says, it's completely inappropriate. How could you think that someone in that madriga would be relating to these kind of people? Okay, so this is a different question. Anyway, so because of that, we taina that we can't ask Akasha Bichlal on Rava. So let's go back to the question that we had before. What's the din of the Bitsua Daka? So Amalei Ravina Luravashi. Now, we said before that he's allowed to marry a Netina. But the Mishnah says, a Bitsua Daka Ukrot Shavcha is allowed to marry a Gioret, specifically, and a Meshuchreret. Why doesn't it mention a Netina, even if a Netina is the same? So the Pashtus is that they do have a din of the Kohuna, and they cannot marry everybody that would be mutter to a Yisrael, such as a Netina. Amalei, so he's actually said to Ravina, so let me ask you something. Read the end of the Mishnah. It says, Ve'ina nesulin elo milavo bekahal. The only Isser is that they cannot marry into the Kahal Hashem. I mean, isn't that saying so? Benetina Shoru? Obviously, that's not the Kahal. So the Mishnah is not coming to address Netina, Elamia Lek, Elamishma Amina, at all. And that brings us to Sir Richard. So as we said, we have to go through now the continuing Yisurim, which includes Lo Yavo Aboni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. So over there, says the Mishnah, an Amoni Umoavi, a male, is Osir Tabo Bekal Hashem. Because it says, Shenema Lo Yavo Aboni Umoavi Bekal Hashem. That's Beferish, right? And, says the Mishnah, Yisuran Yisur Olam. We don't find any heter, because the pasuk continues on to say, Gam Dora Siri lo yavolem bekal Hashem, as opposed to the Mitzri and Adomi, which we're going to see now, says, Beferish Dor Shlishi yavolem bekal Hashem. But the difference is, Aval nikvotehem uterot miyad, an Ammonit or a Moavit is mutter immediately to come and join the Kahal Hashem. So that's because we darshan, as we're going to see, the psukim lo yavo amoni umoavi bekal Hashem al dvar shelo kidmu etchem belechem umayim, which we're gonna see in the Gemara. So we darshan amoni velo amonit moavi velo moavit mitzri v'adomi. On the other hand, are not asur ad asur adoris, which we learn out from mamzer means ad olam, because there it says gam dora siri ad olam lo yavo bekal Hashem ad olam. So we learn them out that dora siri is another way to say ad olam. Masha'en came, the Mitzri and the Adomi, is only answer Shlosha Dorot, because that's what the Pasuk says, Banima Shiyivaldu Lahem, Dor Shlishi, Avalim Bekal Hashem. And this is true, however, Echot Zechar Vechem Mekevas, as opposed to the Ammoni and Moavi, which is only a din in Zachar. When it comes to the Mitzri and Adomi, they are more chomer than the Ammon and Moav, because over there, it is either male or female. But on the other hand, they're less chomer, because it says over there that Dor Shlishi, the third generation, actually could go and intermarry with Yisrael. However, Rabbi Shimon says that's not true. The Mitzriot and the Adomiot and the Nekevot are mutter immediately, because isn't that obvious? It's a Kal Vachomer. I mean, my b'mokem sha'asar, where the Torah says the zecharim asarat the zecharim isur olam, Ammoni and Moav are always asar. And nonetheless, it says yitirat hanekevot miyat. You just said that it's preferish that you can go ahead and you can marry the females, even first generation. So b'mokem shelo asarat the zecharim elad shlosha dorot, where the Torah specifies it's a three generation isur in mitzvah v'adomi. So then obviously it's a kal vachomer. Didn't you not hear it in the kevot miyad? Omru laro, look, if you're telling us that you know that this is a Kabbalah that you have, that this is the halacha, fine, so we'll accept the halacha from you. But if you're talking about ve'im ladin, this is something that only comes from your kal vachomer, we have plenty of solutions. It's not much of a kal vachomer, which the Gemara will discuss. Yesh teshuvah. And that is, I mean, the obvious difference is that it says, Al-Tvar Shalo Kidmu, and that was not Nogea by Mitzri V'Adomi. We'll see. And later on in the Sugya, what answers they had to his Gzeira Shava, so, to his Kavachomer. So Rabbi Shimon said to them, first of all, lo. Lo means, don't try to tell me that you have an answer. There is no answer, okay? And secondly, the bottom line is, yes, halacha ani omer. This is something that I was mekabo from my rabbeim, and there's two different things I'm pointing out to you, that even if you don't have the kabbalah, you have a kavachomer, and don't give me this stuff, yesh teshuva, I'll show you ain't teshuva, that's the low. These are two different issues. So low, and furthermore, I am telling you halacha, but we don't paskin like this. Okay, now, mamzerim unesinim, which we just talked about. So that is an iser, actually, of via bekal. That's what it says, lo yavo mamzer bekal Hashem, and the nitinim, we know there was a gzera of Yoshua. Over there, isuran isur olam, because it says, beferish gam dor asiri, lo yavo bekal Hashem ad olam. So the dor asiri, just like it says, by Ammon and Moav, that it says, beferish ad olam, the ad olam applies to mamzer too. And the Gezerah on the Netinim was also Ad Olam. And that applies to Echad Zecharim, the Echad Nekevot. So there it's the same Aloch. How do we know, as the Gemara, me no hani mili? So what is the mocker of this idea that a female Ammoni or Moavit is okay? Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Well, now take a look at the whole story of David and Goliath, right? So it says over there, and David is going out there and he's about to kill. He's not afraid of this insane maniac, this Plishti. When Shaul watches this, he turns to Avner, who's his commander-in-chief. He's the Saratzava. He says, who is this kid? Now, says the Gemara, what do you mean, who is this kid? That's crazy. Shaul has been totally in love with this kid all these years here. So ask the Gemara, what do you mean he doesn't know who he is? He was completely in love with him. And he was for him. He was the one that carried over his weapons and so on. How is he suddenly asking him, who's the kid? What does that mean? Ella, what he was asking, and it was not who's the kid, but who is the kid's father? Ben and me. That's what he's asking. Of course he knows who he is. And no, says the Gemara, that's also crazy. Of course he knows who the father is. Because it says, Ish bimei Shaul zakenu baba anashim. V'yomaravi temer rabbi abba. This is a reference to Yishai avi David, who was nichmas buchlusa, v'yatsa buchlusa. Uchlusa is 600,000 people. So that means that he was so choshev that he was considered to be a sar for the entire Yisrael. What do you mean, who's his father? You know perfectly well who his father is. Don't give me that stuff. So it can't mean that either. So what he must have meant was, find out who his father has been, not his direct father. I know his direct father. But who is his great-grandfather, I want to know. Is he a descendant from Peretz, or is he a descendant from Zerach? That's what I got to know. Because if he's coming from the generations of Peretz, so then he's going to be a king, Malkahavi, because it says, Amelech Poret. La Soderach, the descendants of Peretz, were meant to be the Malachim from Yehuda. And then he's a threat to me. So I need to know. And in Memachim Beyado, you can't stop a Melech. But if he comes from Zerach, then what I see now, I don't have to worry about, because he's not going to be a king. It just means he's an important guy, which is fine with me. So then it's Chashiva Ba'al Mahave. And what was it that catalyzed these questions? I mean, Shaul must have seen something that scared him about the competitiveness of David. Well, yeah, he had a very good reason, because this crazy pasuk. Remember that Shaul was like Mishichmo Vilamala. I mean, he was like the guy, the tallest guy in the country. David is this little kid, right? He's a sweet little red-haired, you know, okay, fine. But when it says that Shaul took his own Madim, so he had his all of his uniforms with all of his armor and everything, and he puts it on David, which was should have been a joke. And it says Vayalbe Shaul et David Madav. Madav, we're using it. Mado, remember we had by Aaron HaKohen. Mado means kemidato. So he puts this on David, and it fits him. this is not normal. So this guy is basically going to be putting on my clothes. So Doeg, who was standing there, says to Shaul, listen, before you get all hung up about whether he comes from Peretz or he comes from Zerach, whether he's going to be a Melech, that's not the issue. He might not even be a kosher Jew. Forget about whether he's kosher to be a Melech. Why don't you find out first whether he can even come into Kahal Hashem? My timer. Well, he comes from Ruta Moavia. So Avner said to Doeg, what are you talking about? It says Beferish in the Braita, Amoni, Velo Amonit, Moavi, Velo Moavit. Oh, really, says Doeg, a brilliant Russia. Mamzer, Velo Mamzeret. So according to you, we're allowed to marry a Mamzeret, right? Or we're allowed to marry a Mitzrit. Mitzri, Velo Mitzrit, which is how this relates to the Machlokas in our Mishnah. No, said Avner, that's not the point. The point is that by Ammon and Moab, the Torah gives the reason. The reason is, why should you not marry to Ammon and Moab? Advar asher lo kidmu etchem belechem uvamayim. Darko shel ish lekadem, velo darko shel isha lekadem. It's the derech of the males to come out and to give you lechem umayim, but women don't go out into the street and meet people that are coming in and bring out lechem umayim. Well, why not, said Doeg. I mean, the women could have spoken to the women. I mean, that's very appropriate. And the men could have dealt with the men. So they're no good. Ishtik. So Avner had no response to it. Then, when Avner didn't have a way to respond, so the Melech says, okay, so go find out. Indeed, whether he is kosher. Now, this is very strange because he changed the reference from the original reference where he was calling David a Na'ar, and now suddenly he's calling him an Elim. An Elim means more like a youthful person. Na'ar means like a, you know, more like a teenager. Why did we change? No, because he was being baramis to him. He was telling Avner, look, if you don't know the halacha nit alma mimcha, it's the elam. Go find out the elam. Go find out what you don't know. Halacha nit alma mimcha, go into the Beis HaMedrash and ask. Fine. So he does, sure enough, Sha'al. He goes into the Beis HaMedrash. What's the din of this guy, this kid that's coming from Ammon? So, and from Moab. So Amrulay, it says Ammoni velo Moab, Ammonit. Moavi velo Moavi. Now, obviously, Doeg came into the Beis HaMedrash with him to protect his Shita that David was pasul. So Doeg had all the kashas that he asked, and they also didn't know the answer. Ishtiku, he shut them all up. They didn't have an answer. So then Doeg says, okay, we're going out to be machriz with the signature of the Beis Din that David is posel of Obekahal. That will handle the problem very neatly. Nobody's going to follow him to be a melech. Obviously, he wants to go be motzer nefesh and kill the plishti, but Shaul has nothing to worry about. So they were about to go out, put up the signs on the wall all around Meir Shorim, Lachruzi Aleh, and that way he would be osir. And at that moment, wait a minute, this is very strange, because who? At one point it says Amasa was the son of a guy who was called Yitra HaYisraeli, and he had married, a very strange thing, he married, it says he slept with Avigayo, the daughter of Nachash. I mean, this is all a very strange thing, but this is Avigayo was David HaMelech's sister. And remember, the reason that we call her the daughter of the Nachash is because Yishai was one of those who died only be'ityar shel Nachash. So that was the point that he had never, this is of course is an entire change in the relationship to sexuality, because that was the only problem, was that he was the child of the Nachash. The Nachash had this, it was the Matil, the Zuama of the Nachash, as David HaMelech introduces later, is the element of lustfulness and sexuality, where it says, Avivi miyazavuni, Vashem yasfini, and this becomes now the whole big issue with this woman, Abigail. So anyway, this son of Yitra is Amasa. Okay. And the other place, however, where it refers to Yitra, and it says over there, Avigayel was, gave birth, Olida et Amasa, and his father was Yeter HaYishmaeli. I understand. What do you mean, Yishmaeli? Why do we call him Yishmaeli? Ah, Yishmaeli. You know what these Yishmaeli do. They grab knives and they say, Allah Akbar! And that's exactly what he does. He goes into the, he's there in the Beis HaMedrash, and he grabs his sword and he yells, Allah Akbar! So what he did was, he's put himself up like a wild Yishmaeli, and he said, anybody who doesn't accept my halacha dies right here and now. Kach mikublani mi beit dino shel Shmuel Aramati. Amoni is an Amoni, does not include the females, lo Amonit. Moavit does not include the Moavit. Why would we believe him? Isn't the halacha that you never believe someone who tells you a halacha that just comes up now and happens to fit perfectly into a political situation? Ha ha. Right. That is an awfully big coincidence. If this were true, how come we never heard it before? So we never believe someone in such a situation, because Omer Baba Omer Rav, Kol Talmid Chacham, Shemore Halacha Upa. So he's coming to tell over a Kabbalah that he has, right? So Im Kodem Maase Amara. If he said it well before we needed the Halacha, so then we believe him. But if he just conveniently remembers this Halacha when it's a big political hot potato, then we don't believe him. So Im Kodem Maase Amara Shom Imlo. But Imlav Ein Shom Limlo. Okay, yeah, I understand. But, you know, remember, we're talking about at a time in Shaul's life when Shmuel was still alive. So how can he say, Kach mekublani mi beit dino shel Shmuel Aramati, if he knows that all we got to do is pick up our cell phone and say, hey, Shmuel, is this guy telling us the truth or not? So under those conditions, we will be mekabel. So Shainei Ochadar Shmuel ubeit dino kayam, and therefore, David was okay. And tomorrow, we'll try to figure out, but why is he okay? Since Lemaisa, I mean, I understand if it's Kabbalah Nikabel, but what about all the kashas that Doeg asked? They seem to be pretty good kashas. As the Gemara said, Doeg was quite a guy, and he could knock out anybody who would try to attack him. So it's all very nice to take a sword and say, you die. But how does that answer the questions? Okay, so tomorrow, we will talk about that, Bizrat Hashem, and I will safely say to you, have a wonderful day. And
just so the record should be complete, the record skipped when Rebbe asked the kasha from the Mamzer, and then Rebbe went to the kasha from Mitzris. The Gemara said Mumzarbo, so that.
Oh, I skipped Mumzar. Oy vey, vey, vey. Why, you know, Kol Tamid Chacham Shabav Amar Alacha, if it was before, you know, then we accept it. But to come along after the Daffin, now to say it to him, what's it, Nogea, just to make me unhappy? Then we don't accept it. So maybe I did say it after all.
I didn't want to stop the flow.
Wait a minute. You stopped the flow for a heck of a lot less than that. I mean, you stopped the flow just to let us know that this is your neighborhood.
I didn't say that I was at the place of the Babylon Flood. I did talk about that.
Anyway, everybody, I love you all so much. Have a wonderful day, and I shall miss you. And I sort of finished on time, okay, but the timer helped a little bit. It certainly scared me. So we'll see you, and may we be zocha to Hashia Samecho, Vorechas, Nachal Hatzecho, Reim V'Naseim Ad Olam, and get rid of these Yishmaelim. I'm talking about the real ones, not the people who care. And may we once again live Be'artzeinu Sholem, should be all over Artzeinu and the greatest matzav of the Gilui Shechina that we look forward to. Kol Tov, everybody. Wonderful day.